Welcome to Startup to Scale, a podcast by Food Bevy. I'm your host, Jordan Buckner. Join me as I talk to aspiring entrepreneurs, seasoned industry experts, and everyone in between as we unlock the keys to growing from startup to scale.
A lot of the founders that I am working with right now are launching in retail stores across the country, which is an awesome milestone. But one of the challenges comes in supporting those retailers when you are first getting your products in the door, because few of the customers who shop there might actually know about you. One of the missed opportunities and ways of using the digital e-commerce environment to actually drive customers to those stores and pulling from those inventory. And what I want to do today is talk through this kind of new selling channel of retail e-commerce that's popped up in the last few years, its growth, and how it can help you support those retailers, build that investment of customer base there, and then ultimately drive sales and profitability down the road. So for this conversation, I invited on Louis Condon, who is with Pair Commerce, to talk through kind of what the heck is retail commerce and how it can help your brand. Louis, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be back, actually. I think it's the first podcast I've ever come back to. And it's been, I don't know, about a year. And I think when I first came on, it was like our first thoughts into this. So I'm excited to give like part two. The market's grown a ton. We've grown a ton. We've learned a ton. And so I think this will be a lot of fun.
I'll link to the podcast episode that we did before in the show notes so everyone can go back and check that as well. But as a recap, Louis, what is retail e-commerce? And just give a little bit of an overview.
Yeah, retail e-commerce, you know, when we talk to brands, usually like those two words don't make sense next to one another. Like e-commerce, that means direct to consumer or pure play, Amazon, Thrive Market, one of those, you know, online only retailers. Like it doesn't mean brick and mortar. It doesn't mean Target or Walmart or your local grocery store. But we think that that's changing for a lot of really interesting reasons. And it does make sense for those two words to stand next together and for brands to think about when does it make sense strategically from your website, from your media to send your shoppers to retail.com, right? If omni shopper means be where your shoppers want to buy, like retail is a piece of that. And the inventory and performance marketing and digital landscape in retail.com is really catching up where brands can start being strategic about it.
So this means, right, like shopping at target.com or, and a Walmart's a little interesting, but like a walmart.com is pulling from their stores. Is that what kind of encompasses? And then also being able to just like link to who's carrying your product?
Yeah, exactly. There's when we think of retail e-commerce, or you know, another way to say it is probably just like digital marketing to retail. It's twofold. There's two pieces to it. One, you have to connect to retailer. And you're right. It's Target, it's Walmart, it's grocery stores, it's Club Mass and grocery for most of the world that we live in, at least. And so that's connecting to retailers, building the path to purchase with, as you said, inventory qualifiers in there. So like you don't want to send someone to an out of stock and like actively piss off your customer and spend money to do so. So it's building that path. And then when you have that path, you know, we live in the digital world. So it's trackable, it's clickable, you can get the insights. You could start integrating with your ad platforms like Meta to build audiences that you can retarget and build lookalikes off of. You could start optimizing campaigns around top, middle, and bottom of funnel. And so that's what we mean by retail e-com. It's every path from brand.com to your website, own properties, and brand media, free, paid, everything, all of those paths to retail.com consolidated, and then measuring what goes through, and then running the D2C playbook of quick feedback loops, retargets, you know, does this video work better than this image? Does this retailer work better than this product, copy, creative, so on and so forth, where you could be strategically to increase your share of wallet.
So one problem that I am talking to brands that they're experiencing, right, is they launch in a new retailer, maybe 200, 400,000 doors, and they need to drive that trial and awareness at those stores. And right, let's just say someone launches in Target and gets a test there, and you know, they can use like the Target Circle program. But then they're like, okay, like this is a big store. There's, you know, hundreds of thousands of products in that store. How do I drive that customer to the store? How do I let people know like what their product is, that we exist and they can buy it at Target so that we can see our product be successful at that retailer?
Yeah, I love this example, and maybe I'll even expand it a little bit bigger. Like, I think it's share of wallet, and obviously retailer launching at a new retailer, launching a product that's kind of a similar thinking. But that is share of wallet for us is awareness and trial, as you said. So how do you get people to know about you there? How do you get people to try you when you're there? And then for us, it's repeat purchase and sales velocity as well. When you put all of these things together, that's when brands can be really strategic about driving sales at retail using e-commerce tactics. And so, yeah, investing in a new retailer is a perfect example of that. I think you talk a lot and really well about how long it takes to become profitable and build the partnerships ahead of time once you launch, up to a year after, I've heard you say. And that's true with digital marketing as well, because you're building the capacity. And for the really, I'm not even a D2C marketer. So this is really basic for the people that are really good at this. But when you start building those audiences, who's engaging at the top of the funnel? Who's engaging at the middle of the funnel? Who's engaging at the bottom of the funnel? How do you get people from the top to the middle, from the middle to the bottom? And how do you get new people in? And so that takes time to build that and learn those insights and just, build the digital assets, which are audiences. And that's entirely true for retail e-commerce as well. And so when you think about every time you want to send someone or you want to highlight a path to a retailer, so let's say you're launching at a Target, every time you do that, you should think, how can I make it shoppable? Because making it shoppable, there's a bunch of tools out there like PairCommerce included, but just make it a free, link to the PDP at target.com and start getting those insights. Who's clicking on it? Start building an audience of Target shoppers in Klaviyo. And then you can retarget those 2 months down the line when you have new packaging or another new product launch at Target or your back to school campaign or whatever it might be. You have this asset of people that you know buy your product from retail or a specific retailer online. And that can just be really, really powerful over time.
So here's what I see too, right? Like in this example, a lot of times a brand will say, great, let me send out an email to our existing followers on their email list to say, hey, we launched a Target shop here. Maybe it goes to their store locator page on their website, but then kind of ends there, right? Like that's where their communication stops. Or they start running, like, let's try the Target shoppers on using Meta ads. And there's a link, and maybe it does the same thing where, like, hey, we launched in Target, and it maybe links back to where store located. But then they have no idea kind of what happens after that. What are some of the additional tools that Pair kind of brings in, or this retail e-commerce brings in, where they can start looking at a little bit more information and then sending direct, making that shoppable, as you say?
Yeah, as we view our product suite, there's kind of five main elements, which there's so many subcategories behind it, but we can get into. On-site is where we see it most often as a store locator. So make your store locator shoppable. And I think most store locators, Pairs included, will have some element of shoppability, like, build, click on Walmart and go there, Instacart or go there. Or I was just looking at Partake Foods. We don't work with them, but they do really, really good stuff to build those paths to purchase. Gimme Seaweed does similar stuff of where can you create this path. So brand.com store locator is the perfect example. To me, it's my favorite example because it's like the highest intent unsegmented audience you're going to find, right? Someone goes to your site, clicks where to buy, clicks when it's shoppable, they click on the product and then they click on the retailer that they want to buy it on. And then they bridge over to that retailer's page. And like, if you can capture that data, great. Audiences, even better, because now we can retarget them over and over and we can build lookalikes over and over. We can run a campaign at them that's optimized around adding to cart and get better and better results around that.
Yeah, so I mean, that's using like, would that be like setting up a like a pixel or something that registers like when someone clicks on the target link, then you can use that for retargeting?
Exactly. That's what we would recommend to any brand is create a pixel on every ad platform that you might want to work on, even if you're not doing it now, and just start building these assets. So create call it your retail e-commerce pixel on Meta, Snap, TikTok, Klaviyo, Google, Trade Desk, Yahoo, anything you can think of and create an account in, build the pixel and then just start building the audiences. So even if you're not running any campaigns, you can start doing those integrations and build the audiences of who's clicking and who's engaging. You could get super specific with that too, of just Target or just a specific product or just a specific product line or multiple. And this is where people are much smarter than me in this world about how to do that exactly. So
They're
yeah.
cool in terms of like collecting email addresses from people do that? Like, is it a step to like add an email address to get, I don't know, a discount or something where you can then like start collecting that information?
Yeah. And I know there's a bunch of good providers out there for this. I think Aisle is one that we see a ton and we're doing some partnerships with is, and I think that's kind of the next step after awareness is trial is, you know, well, okay, we know you're interested. We know you're an engager with our brand. Now let's get you to purchase. And so let's do a coupon. Let's buy one. Let's get an email. You know, when you start working with certain brands, they can start telling you purchase. Pair has some insight into purchase as well for online sales. And so you can start building that bottom of funnel audience, which I think is like the new frontier of kind of retail digital marketing is building digital audiences that you own on all your platforms of people who buy your product.
Yeah, I love that. I think one of the other things, right, is like a lot of times when brands are launching, maybe they have limited distribution in the retailer or they're not fully distributed at any time and encounter a lot of out of stocks. The last thing you want to do is send a customer to a store or to a .com and then like not have the product in stock delivered to them. So how do your tools enable them to kind of see like where the product's available?
Yeah, that's what Pair's technology is specifically built on. And, you know, I don't want to make this an ad, but we're out there scanning 3,000 retailers daily in the slowest instance. And so that's 165,000 locations in the US and Canada. And so we have the biggest database of retailers that we are scanning inventory at. And then when we scan the inventory, you know, the store locator or the shoppable PDP or any of the shoppable media tools, you know, we can dynamically display the retailer where inventory is available. Outside of some of those tools, and you know, there's some other tools that can, I think, do that. It's tough to do that inventory piece. And so that's probably folks that are a little bit more mature or investing a lot more in retail or the ones that are particularly more retail reliant probably should look for a tool, whether that's Pair or something else. But you know, I think Partake Foods is this great example. On each of their PDPs, they just link to Target, Walmart, and Instacart. And you know, you might hit an out of stock, but it's actually like, you know, you're not paying for that, which some of the big brands, they'll put millions of dollars to budget every quarter. And that's when hitting out of stock matters because you start, your unit economics really start mattering, which is another piece to retail e-com is like the shoppable media. And when does it make sense to invest in paid media to do all of that? But there's still a lot of free things you can do where inventory might not matter as much.
Yeah, I love that. So then let's continue thinking about kind of the shoppability as part of your strategy, right? So what are some of the other tools that you've seen brands doing with linking the like digital marketing to some of those share of wallet goals? And then we kind of talked through awareness and trial, a little bit on repeat, like how, what are some of the other key areas that are like really driving that? Like one of my favorites is around category reviews, right? Like for some retailers, they want to look at and see like how your product is performing. If you're not, if you're underperforming, they're going to, you know, kick you off the shelf potentially. And that's happened to me before. So how can you use these kind of tools to boost your sales, maybe to get another round or another, you know, year in that retailer?
Yeah. And this is where, I mean, it does require investment. So we're kind of moving out of the free range into a paid world, whether that's with Pair or, you know, I think Aisle is another good example of this, of, you know, Aisle Sample is another one where you can work with these brands to create the rebate, and Fetch and Ibotta obviously are the big ones. I don't know why I'm missing the gorillas in the room, but you're engaging with the shoppers, they're sending receipts, getting that purchase confirmation, and then you can start building that purchase audience off of that. And so, you know, we do that with online sales. A lot of those partners do it with offline sales. Again, we work with Aisle, so I'm partial to what they're doing, but yeah. Some super interesting things of, you know, engaging with folks, building an audience, you know, now we can engage with the store locator and then target them with an aisle coupon for trial. And now you start getting folks of purchase data and purchase audiences. You can build a lookalike to run a sweepstakes or something like that. And then you send those to, you know, any other sort of media campaign or your next big push, or you do one of these retailer specific things, right? We know you buy from us. We have a Target exclusive coming up, like shop here. And it's got to come from all of the angles. When we say make everything shoppable, it's anything that's clickable can be made shoppable. And so, you know, Pair has some landing pages and things like that. You could click over to an aisle or outside of that for another type of experience there. But, you know, I've learned a lot. I don't come from a media background. I've learned like the definition of media is so much broader than I thought, right? It's not just paid ads. It's free ads. My favorite example is a customer success response, right? So often we see it in the comments of like, where is this? Where is this? Well, send a store locator over, which you're already doing, but now attach a UTM to it that says source equals customer success. And then, you know, if it's shoppable, now we know which product people are selecting and which retailers are selecting by which geo. And so now we can see where problems are starting to arise just because we did that UTM to start tracking it over. And so, you know, that's a free thing that folks can start doing. Emails, SMSs, free posts, influencers, right? If you have an influencer, now you can make it shoppable and start measuring the data and seeing who's working or not. It's by UTMs. Like, my understanding is basic marketing to just track different creative or copy or sources or mediums or things like that.
Yeah. I think along with all these things, right, there's a ton of opportunities to continue boosting your success in retailers. And the bottom line, as you referenced earlier, right, like launching in retailers, especially a larger scale, is really expensive. You should think about it as an investment, at least over the first year, before you start seeing any profitability. One of my favorite brands who did a retail launch in the last couple of years was Bomani, which has like a coffee infused alcohol brand. And they really hit every single, they launched in Whole Foods and in the Northeast, they hit every single store with like in-store demos multiple times a week in like a couple dozen stores. And their goal was to get everyone who shopped at that store to at least know of their product, right? Like when I launched T-Squares in Whole Foods, maybe 2 to 5% of the people knew we were even like in that store because there's so many options and people don't shop, you know, every single product. And so that was a huge loss of people who like might buy it, but just had no idea we were there. And I think that's really hard to scale up and do across, you know, hundreds of locations. And I think that's where the retail e-commerce kind of work comes, because, you know, with that same mentality, how can you target everyone or try to identify everyone who shops at your stores that you're located in and at least build that awareness of like, hey, we're located in this store. This is our product. If it's for you, great. If it's not, totally understand, but it'll increase your success of moving velocity and building that profitability in that store versus only leveraging like 1% of the shoppers there. So I love all these tools and being able to fully, you know, take advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, we in our world, it's a new frontier. Like inventory and knowing what was available on shelf is just so crucial to all of this. And that wasn't available before the pandemic. Retailers just didn't know it was on their own shelf. But in the pandemic, when every grocery experience started from an e-commerce point, they needed to know that. And that's why Instacart blew up and Target's Drive Up blew up. And so all of this is new and fresh, and like it's an emerging pillar of e-commerce alongside D2C and pure play. And we learn a ton every day. So thank you for having me back. I'm super grateful for the opportunity. And, you know, if we do this again in a year, then I'm sure we'll have a whole nother topic to talk about.
I love it, Louis. Well, I'll link your information in the show notes. So if anyone's interested in really leveraging some of these digital tools to support your retailers and retail launches, definitely check out Paracommerce. And Louis is definitely down to help and talk through, you know, how their tools can really help your brand. Louis, thanks so much for being on again, and looking forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, Jordan. Take care.